Tonight's message is called Expressing Life Through the Spoken Word. And I'm not quite sure how this is going to go, but I know that God is with me and that God is once again going to come through. So would you join with me as we pray? Father, I need you. I depend on you. I pray in Jesus' name that by the Holy Spirit, you will teach us tonight. And you will sow this word into our hearts with an understanding, Lord, that it will produce fruit and transformation. We want to be like you, Lord. We want to walk as you walk. We want to walk with you. We want to know you. Open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts. Give us enlightenment, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to read to you from the New Living Translation from Ephesians 2 to begin tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Maybe you can want to just listen to this, because if you don't have the New Living Translation, it might kind of throw you off. But you can turn to that and read it, study it, look at it. There is so much in Ephesians. It's amazing. But chapter 2, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. He's obviously talking to believers. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Do you see how we give access to him by disobedience? All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So Christians are not better than other people. We're different. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. It is so important that we understand our position in the Lord, that we are to operate from the place of being seated with Christ in heavenly realms. We are citizens of heaven now. We've been seated with the Lord in heavenly realms. And we are to move and we are to operate from that place. It's not a matter of us trying to achieve or gain or work our way to get to him. It's about coming to the revelation knowledge that I am already seated with him. This is my identity. This is who I am. I'm in that place with the Lord right now. It's not something that I need to achieve. It's something that is already a reality. But through the renewing of my mind, I'm coming to an awareness of who I am and my identity and what has been freely given to me already in Christ. It has already been freely given to us in Christ. It's there, it's available, but it's by faith that we access it. It's not something to be gained, it's something that already exists. Because we have been seated together with Christ. And it's by faith that we are reaching into that place in the Spirit and bringing it into this place in the natural. So where are we seated positionally right now as believers? With Christ in the heavenly places. If we don't believe that, then we will continue to operate in the place of unbelief, which is the carnal natural understanding, which is everything has to be seen, felt, you know. I'll believe it if I see it. But we have to understand our identity, who we are, and what has been freely given to us already. When we believe, then we see the kingdom come. We see the reality of heaven manifest in the earth realm when we believe. We don't have to cry out to Jesus to bring him down to the earth again. We're not trying to call him up from the dead because he's already risen and exalted. But the Bible says that the word is nigh you, even in your mouth. It's the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. God chose through words to express his heart. And when the Father expresses his heart through words, it is life-giving. So Father expressed himself through the Word that became flesh, Jesus Christ. And what he spoke was life. It was spiritual life. These words I speak unto you are spirit and their life. So we need to understand that when we align ourselves in the Spirit with the Lord, as we are positionally with him, and that we have gotten acquainted to know his voice, to discern his voice, and what we hear him say, what we say is what we hear him say. If we say what he's saying, there will be life. If we just choose our own words, sometimes we think that we can manipulate God with our own words. But Jesus never did that with the Father. You know, Jesus always spoke what he heard his Father speak. So we need to learn to hear his voice and speak what he's speaking. Now we know that his word is, amen, his heart expressed to us. So God gave us this word. But we are not to use the word, you know, in a selfish way. Jesus never did anything to please himself. He didn't come here to please himself. He came here to please his Father. And so we are to also please the one who sent us, because we are ambassadors on the earth representing him. And so you and I also, by hearing and speaking forth what God has given us, are going to also speak words that are spirit and they are life. And it's that word that doesn't fall to the ground, you see. And so we need to pray that, Lord, you grant me utterance that I may speak what you're speaking. When we say I'm speaking his word, it's a word that is in season, meaning a word, a right now word. Some people call it rhema word in the Greek, meaning a right now word that God is speaking. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Have you ever been in a place in your life where somebody came and he spoke into your life and it was exactly what you needed to hear? It produced life in you. It brought hope to you. Maybe it brought peace to you, because it was a word that the Lord was speaking in the moment to you. It was very personal to you. Now, there are a lot of people who claim to have a word from God, but they're just prophesying out of their own hearts, and there's a difference. When God speaks, there's life in it. That's why the people can get in a pulpit and preach a sermon, and it may be well put together, it may be well packaged, it may even be scripturally accurate or correct, but it can be dead as a letter. Amen? Because we've got to hear from him. And we speak what he's speaking. In a sense, when we even preach, we should be, in a sense, prophesying. That's a divine utterance as God gives it. And you and I coming into agreement with him. So God expresses his heart to us in words. And even as God expresses his heart to us in words, guess who else does the same thing? Satan. He'll express his corrupt heart to mankind through the spoken word. And so in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Satan is referred to as the god of this world. Now, how can we say that he's the god of this world? You see, that's why some people worship him, because they think he is God. And Scripture actually refers to him as God of this world. Well, what happened in the very beginning when Adam had been given dominion on the earth? He walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. He had a relationship. He was actually clothed with God. The glory of God was on him as clothing. Yes. And when he had sinned against God, he lost that. And that's why they knew they were naked. It was spiritual clothing. And then they tried, of course, to cover their own sin up by their own works. And they tried to use fig leaves to cover their nakedness. But that was not going to be sufficient. The Father had already had a plan that even as the first man had sinned and he had failed to live righteously before him, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, would fulfill all righteousness. He would purchase his people back and once again clothe them in the glory that Adam had. We are to be clothed with the Lord Jesus. And so God chose the Word to communicate his heart. And so Satan, being called the God of this world, is because what he did is he took away the authority that Adam had as, if you will, the small g God of this world. What do we mean by that? Well, God gave mankind, right, dominion over all. The fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, right, over every creeping thing upon the earth. God gave man that place of authority on the earth. What Satan did is he stole it from man by getting him to compromise and listen to him. So that's why to those who are not in Christ, Satan still has influence as the prince of the power of the air. I believe that's like the second heaven. The Bible mentions three heavens. The third heaven being where God is. And then the second heaven, which is that invisible realm around us. And then, of course, the first heaven that we see visibly with our eyes. So in this place of the second heaven is where there are also the angels of God that come and they go and they minister to us and they war on behalf of us. When we call and we pray, God releases his angels. That's why it's so important that we as his people pray. If we want to see his kingdom come and his will be done, we must pray. We must call in as those royal priests who have been positioned here on the earth and given authority in his name to invoke heaven's influence on the earth. So a word, again, is a thought expressed. And a word is invisible. We can't see them. So words are actually spiritual. Words are spiritual. Words carry spiritual power. Power of life and death is in the tongue. So words can hurt people. But words can also bless people. And so even though we know this, we do have to be mindful and reminded that I need to really guard, and I'm talking to myself tonight, what comes out of my mouth. Because you can destroy, even in secret, what you say in secret. Because words are spiritual. You may not even be looking at that person. But what you say, even in secret. As a matter of fact, when we pray, we are to pray in secret, right? Not just in secret. But we also pray in secret, so our Father, who sees in secret, will reward us openly. How do we communicate our hearts to God? The same way, through words, and words are spiritual. Now the Holy Spirit was given to us, so that we may know how to pray. He will remind us of the things that sometimes we don't even know what we should pray about. And the Lord will put people on your heart, you know. You'll see their face, or you just know that something's going on. And I need to pray for this person. I don't know what's going on. How many have ever had that happen? You just, somebody was on your heart and you didn't know, you know, quite what was going on. But the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to pray from the earth realm on behalf of this person who's also in the earth realm with you. so that there might be a divine intervention. John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." Now, Jesus had been telling them about, you know, eating, and I mentioned this morning, eating and drinking of me, he said. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many people were thinking he's talking about cannibalism. What he was saying is that you need to receive me. You need to receive my word. Because then he goes on to say, the flesh is profiting nothing. You're thinking in fleshly ways. You're thinking that I'm talking about literally eating me. Come on. He's saying, these words I speak unto you are expressing who I am to you. You can encounter God through what he speaks. You can only know God through what he speaks. God chooses words to express his heart towards us. And they are spiritual. You don't see him. And that's why we have to be very careful of what we speak. Because the enemy also knows the power of words. And when you and I begin to speak the wrong things, we give him permission now to step into the situation. And you know what he's going to do? Legal authority. He's given me legal authority. He's aligning with what I'm saying now. Do you see that? When we speak cursings, when we gossip, when we slander, when we ridicule, when we criticize with an evil motive, we're actually aligning ourselves with him, and we're allowing our voice to express what he's saying, and therefore giving him legal access to not only mess you up, but the people that you may be speaking about. And that's why curses are a real thing, and people realize that, and they will curse people. Even people in witchcraft understand the power of a curse. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But sometimes we can be just as guilty as indulging in witchcraft when we align ourselves with the same source that they're using to speak against someone. Words are powerful. Words are the overflow of our hearts. We can speak doubt or faith. We can speak blessing or cursing. Jesus said this, we must guard our tongues. Because we are responsible for our words. I want you to hear this tonight in Matthew 12 and verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Words are eternal. Words are spiritual. Words cannot be taken back. Once you say it, we've all done that. Open mouth, insert foot. We said something. We said, man, now why did I say that? And you can't take it back. And the only thing we can do, and Dr. Ray had talked about this a while back with the Salt Covenant, is to override anything that was said with a blessing. Amen? So if someone curses, what do? You bless them. If they curse you, bless them back. You see, you cancel out. We talked about Dr. Leaf. Remember the article that we read together here, how our words are so powerful. That even in scientific experimentation, they're beginning to discover how powerful words are. Even toxic thoughts, too. But if we start to speak and think the right things, they will cancel out the bad things. So that's why we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. Because we're taking, amen, and we're washing in the Word. And we're changing our minds, we're repenting. I'm changing the way I think. I'm feeding on the word. Now, you know, James talked about the tongue in chapter 3 and verse 6 of James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, "In the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting," listen, "your entire body." Do you know that words can actually make you physically sick? I've known people who were always sick. And I'm not saying it's always because of this, but sometimes people are always sick because of what they say. They're talking themselves into sickness all the time. Rah, 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 rah. Everything is always broken. Everything is always wrong. Nothing is right. They need to shift out of that funk and start speaking life and health. Amen? Because your words are spirit and they're life. When you align them with what God says, you're either going to attract heaven or hell, depending on what you want to lend yourself to. So if we lend our voices to God in thanksgiving and praise, to love and to build up, we set our lives in order with God's blessings and protection. How many want God's blessings?
Yes.
If we're loving, if we're supportive of others, if we're protective of others, there's going to be growth, there's going to be protection. So we want to be very careful about what we are lending ourselves to. Because if we're criticizing and we're fault finding and we're gossiping, you know, the devil will use that to destroy people. And so he's seeking to get us, because he can't do it unless he has a vessel, you know. He seeks out human beings to use, to be his mouthpiece. So we really need to guard our hearts. We need to guard even what we're listening to. If you're hanging around people who are always slandering and gossiping and negative, you've got to be very careful. Because that stuff will rub off on you. Those words do carry weight. Again, you've heard this said before, but I'm going to use it again. When we were kids and we were out on the playground and we used to, you know, get into our little spats. Sometimes it would start out with verbal spats. Sometimes it got physical. But we would say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, they'll never hurt me." Has anybody ever used that? All the while you're saying, "Oh, that really hurt. How could they say that about me?" Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
We said that because we were trying to break the spell of that word that was spoken. And in some ways, that was really a way of coping with it. That what you were doing is you were turning it around. "You're the glue, I'm the rubber." That was another one. "Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you." Bringing back some memories. Now, many of us are aware of Isaiah. When God called Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah, in verse 1 through 8, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" You know, something happens when we say the same thing. You notice when you start talking about the glory of God shows up.
Amen.
You start talking about Jesus, the things of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit shows up. However, people get caught up in talking about the devil too much. And you keep talking about the devil, he shows up too. And sometimes we're fighting a devil that we invited with our own conversation because we're just consumed with the devil. "The devil, the devil. He's out to get me." Are you with me?
Yes.
And sometimes we've been taught that way. You know? We're going around boxing demons all day long. I don't do that.
No.
We don't have to. We go around and talk about Jesus. We go around and exalt Jesus. We go around and listen to that voice and speak what he's saying. And there's times when you need to take authority over the enemy. But most of the time, it's because our minds are not renewed and we're just thinking the same old dead thoughts we used to think. And there needs to be an area of darkness in our lives that the Word of God needs to come in and wash and replace him in with the light of Christ. So now I'm not thinking those thoughts anymore. I've washed that out. I'm now filled with the Word of God. And so the posts of the door were shaken, verse 4, by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What happened to Isaiah was right away, the first thing that he became aware of is the fact that he had been speaking things he should not have. And that he had been listening to things he should not have. He was in the midst of a people who were lending themselves to the adversary. And when he got into God's presence and he was aware of the holiness of God, there was such a contrast that he became very much aware of his own sinfulness. That's why it is absolutely essential that we seek him, that we draw near to him. The Lord is the light of our lives. Amen? Yes. That we open our hearts and allow him to have full sway with us. When we say control, it means that we're walking this thing together. Because God will never take you over. God will always work with you because he gave us an individual personality. We are who we are because he made us that way. So God doesn't want a robot that he just takes over. That's paganism. That's what happens in the occult. But when it's the Spirit of God in you, it's a cooperative effort. We're walking with Jesus. And so Isaiah became aware, you know, of his conversation. And so the Lord knew that. And he was confessing before the Lord in verse 5. I'm undone. He's confessing to God. And my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. And so what did the Lord do? He sent one of the seraphim, one of the angelic beings flew to me. And he said, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. You see, that's what God wants to do. God doesn't want to leave us in that place. He wants to cleanse us. It's his heart's desire to cleanse us. But it has to be from a cooperation from us to obey his voice. And when we are aware of our sinfulness, that we are willing to confess and forsake it. God saw his heart. And then the next thing you hear after his sin was purged is what? Also I heard the voice of the Lord, verse 8, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. How many have said that to the Lord? Here am I, Lord. Send me. What has to happen is you have to have, first of all, your conversation has to come into order. Do you hear that? If you want to be the mouthpiece for the Lord, you've got to get your conversation right. You need to start learning how to lend yourself only to the Lord and not to the devil. There are people who want to be God's spokesman, but they're lending themselves half the time to the devil. And God first wants us to get into order with him. He wants us to first repent and to forsake, amen, and quit listening to that voice and aligning ourselves with him. And start speaking and thinking and dwelling on the things that God does and what he says. And so James in chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God or in the likeness of God. So out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. A little salt will mess up the whole batch of water. So you and I have been given an assignment to be the heralds of the Lord, to be his spokespeople in the earth. I mean, he's given us words. We are to take words with us, his words. Not any old words, but the words that he's speaking to us. And we are to go forth and we are to speak life and not death. We are to bless and not curse. And when someone curses us, we bless back. We never lend ourselves. We never do a tit for tat. Are you with me? Because you end up lending yourself to even further damage when you start to try to get vengeful with people. Well, they talk bad about me. I'm going to show them. When you're actually hurting not only them, but yourself. Every time we take vengeance into our own hands, how many know? The jails are full of people who decided to take revenge. We are to bring the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, to the ends of the earth. And we begin with our Jerusalem, which is right here. We bring it right into our homes. How many know you're going to need to begin with your home? Yeah. Now, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah really had a heart that was broken about the condition of his people. And God raised Jeremiah up to prophesy to the people of Israel. And so, Jeremiah, having done the will of God, was now being persecuted and mistreated because he had obeyed God. How many know that sometimes when you obey God, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go easy? No. We've realized that now, right? Yes. Nonetheless, we still obey the word of the Lord. Yes. We don't seek to please people, we seek to please God. But Jeremiah found himself in a place where he was distraught. He was beat down. He just wanted to check out. He wanted to be done with it all. Because of the opposition that he was under. Has anybody ever felt that way? But the problem that Jeremiah had, which the Lord began to reveal, is that even though Jeremiah was doing the will of the Lord and he was obedient, Jeremiah was also starting to get into the funk of speaking the wrong things too. Kind of getting a little bit of a complaining spirit going on there. How many know that complaining God hates? Because it shows ingratitude. And I know we've all done it. We've all complained. But if we're complainers, it doesn't mean you have to be complainers. And if you're a complainer, you need to repent. You need to stop it immediately. If you want the blessing and the favor of God on your life, stop complaining. Instead, start giving thanks. Do the opposite. Amen. And so in Jeremiah chapter 15, the Lord speaks to Jeremiah. And he said this, "If you return, then I will bring you back." If you turn back to me, then I will bring you back. "You shall stand before me if," verse 19 of Jeremiah 15, "if you take out the precious from the vial." I'll say it again. If you take out the precious from the vial, separate them. Amen? Quit lending yourself to the vial. But just speak, think on, dwell on, meditate on what God is saying. "You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you." He's saying, don't go chasing after your enemies. Don't try to appease everybody. He says, you stand. You will stand before me if you watch what comes out of your mouth. And I will allow you to stand in this place with me, and you shall be as my mouth. But he says, but you must not return to them. Don't compromise to fit in. Don't ever compromise to fit in. What matters is that you're fitting in with Jesus in the eternal crowd. So Jeremiah was entertaining wrong thoughts about God. And he'd given expression to these thoughts. And they're unworthy thoughts because God doesn't deserve that. So often God gets blamed for things. You know, the devil wants you to blame God for everything that happens that's wrong and broken. God promised to make Jeremiah He says, I'm going to make you like a fortified bronze wall to them. I'll make your forehead like a flint. He's saying that they're going to come against you. They're going to oppose you. They're going to do everything that they think they can possibly do to destroy you. But if you will not lend yourself to the same devil that they're lending themselves to, and you start to order your conversation rightly, you start to speak the right things and speak only what I'm saying, then you will have a place with me that even though they may come against you, they may speak against you, they may slander your name, I'm going to give you favor. They will not be able to destroy you. They will not be able to take you out. That's what God is saying. In other words, these oppressors are not going to be able to topple him. And God promised that he would deliver Jeremiah. But he had to change his speech. Do you want God's favor, God's blessing? Change your speech. Make up your mind. And I pray, and you know the Lord is faithful to this. Lord, when I even begin to stray in my conversation, smite me with conviction. Yes. And you know what? I get it in the gut. When I start to say something, I shouldn't ever get that. Yeah. You know, things are good. There's peace in your heart. And all of a sudden, you're either listening to something or you're starting to lend yourself to something. And as you're speaking, you start to feel like a dying going on inside. What's happening is you're allowing the enemy to corrupt you by your conversation. I read a story recently of a man who had a vision. Take it or leave it. I believe it was a true vision. But he's in the vision God showed him. There were these Christians that were walking around with demons on them. And he said, and every time that they slandered another believer or spoke ill of somebody, he said these demons would vomit on them. In the spirit realm, they were being defiled by their speech. See, you give access to your enemy by lending yourself to what he's saying and what he's doing. But when we speak and do and say what God is speaking, doing, and saying, then we're inviting heaven. That's why when we've worshiped, amen, there's no defilement in here. It's glory. There's joy in the Holy Spirit. There's love, a perfect love that casts out. There's no fear. You're in a place where you just love everybody. Because we've been lending ourselves and lending our voices to God to speak what he's speaking. And when we praise him, we're basically just, we're saying what's true about God. And we're making our boast in what's true about God, who he is. And when you align with truth and who he is, truth reveals itself and it frees you. And he is the truth. And when you encounter him, there's freedom in Christ. That's why we should not be silent. Have you ever heard of silent praise? Actually, that's not biblical. I've heard people say stuff like that. Well, I'm just a silent praiser. No. You need to start exercising. God gave you a voice. He gave you the ability. Hallelujah. Start putting it to practice here. Start verbalizing, expressing your thoughts in words. Because words that are in alignment with truth are spiritual and life-giving. And so when we align ourselves to praise God, heaven, amen, is released. The atmosphere of heaven comes. When we speak about healing, amen, and health and wholeness. I think it was you, Dave, that gave me a little article on speaking in tongues. Again, these things are finding out in the scientific community, things that we've already known for years. But they're doing experimentation with some of the things, you know, that the Word of God speaks of. And they were finding out that people who spoke in tongues is just like this part in the brain that doesn't seem to have any purpose. But it's activated when people pray in the spirit, in tongues. And they said that when people, and they did experimentation with it, were praying in tongues, there was endorphins and there was like healing being released into the body. Amen. And they've discovered that people who pray are healthier than people who don't. But thank God he's given us the Holy Spirit. We can pray in the Holy Spirit, and that's so much easier. That's why often people get healed without anybody laying hands on them, just by getting into the glory through expressing the words of life and releasing life, hallelujah, the life of God in the atmosphere. The day is coming. In Jeremiah 31 and 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. The day is coming, folks, when there won't any longer be the necessity of a preacher. I won't be preaching. It won't be necessary. Because the knowledge of the Lord is going to be throughout all the earth, as the waters cover the sea. People will not need someone to teach them, because all will know who the Lord is. That day is coming. It's not yet. So right now, what God has given to the church is the assignment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Take the words of God with you. Pray. Say, God, grant me utterance to speak. Give me what you're saying. I want to hear your voice. And start speaking. And the first step is just to start speaking what he's saying. Once you open your mouth, God will fill it. Get over the chicken line. Break out of complacency and apathy. Shake off the spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power. And as you speak, the Lord will confirm his word with signs following. Heaven will come down. People will get saved. People get healed. People get delivered. Isaiah 52 and 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Hallelujah. You get the picture of the heralds going before Israel as they're being returned to the land. From all the quarters of the earth, they're coming back into the land even now. God is returning his ancient people to their land. And the herald is going out, and many of them now, their eyes are beginning to turn to Jesus as the Messiah. They're realizing he is the Messiah. Ooh, Shabbakon. And we are the heralds. We are the ones to take the good news and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus has overcome the grave. Amen. Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, your watchmen, those who are on the wall, those who had prayed, those who had kept their eyes out, those who had interceded, shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Do you know that there have been people, hallelujah, for generations now praying for the peace of Jerusalem? They're praying that God would restore his people, that he'd bring them back into the land. Why is that important? Because when they return to the land and they begin to cry out to Jesus, the Lord is going to come. Yeah. Hallelujah. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. Sound the alarm. Tell everybody it's time to wake up. Yeah. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Amen. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You and I are spiritual Zion in Messiah. We're one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, made into one new man. Hallelujah. So the promises of Abraham come upon us today too. That's why we should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. That's why we should be standing with her. Oh God, is not the Spirit bearing witness with us tonight? He's saying, get ready. It's time to tell everybody. It's time to get out. Amen. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open to hear the voice of God. And when He says, say this, say that. And when you say what He's saying, it will be life-giving. It will impart spiritual life. And they will rise out of the dust. And they also, as we, will be raised up together with Christ. And the day will come when the Lord Himself will be glorified in all His saints throughout the ages. And those who have labored with Him, the rewards will be given in that day. And the day will come, and this is what I want to hear. Whether I get any rewards, what I want to hear is my greatest reward is to hear Jesus say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.